Gopis are criticizing the creator, and Vishnu Chakravarti is giving us some dialogue between the providence and the gopis. And the gopis are criticizing him as being unjust and unfair. And then providence argues back, well, how can you say that? How can you conclude that I'm not merciful? And they say, because of this, you bring people together in friendship, and they exchange their minds and intellects. But before they can fulfill all their desires for enjoyment, you separate them. You're whimsical. You're what kind of God are you? You're like some kid. It's like a whimsical kid. You're like a child. And then God replies, hey, what is this? You shouldn't compare me to some child. I'm the Pitamaha. I'm the grandfather of everyone. The grandsire. How can you compare me to an inexperienced boy? And then they're afraid that providence may say that. Then the gopis say in verse 20, which I believe we read yesterday, that you create sorrow for all the people in the world. Though you're the creator, you showed us a beautiful smiling face in Mukunda, which takes away all suffering, and then you made his face disappear, which fills us with suffering. So what is this? You're not very, very good. So now, text 21, I think. Well, yeah, this is text 21 from the chapter 39. Kurastvamakrura samakyas svanash chakshur hidattam harase patagyavat hinaikadeshe kilasarga soshtavam tvadiya madrakshma vayam madudrisha. The gopis say, O Providence, though you come here with the name Akrur, you are indeed cruel, because the name, the word Krura, is interesting in Sanskrit. Krura means cruel. Bad. Cruel means bad, merciless, unkind, very mean person. But his name is Akrur. Akrur means not cruel, not mean. So they're seeing that. They're seeing Akrura, who is the uncle of Krishna, they're seeing him like providence. God has come in this form. Just like if you're in your house and the front door kicks open and then the guy's standing there with a machine gun, you can think, oh, death is coming, death is appearing before me in the form of the mafia. Right? The godfather has entered my house. Door kicks open. You go, oh. He's Mr. Giovanni. It's Mr. Giovanni, but actually you're seeing, oh, death has come before me. And he says, so, where's that money I lent you? 5 crores. Oh, just now coming. No, just now going. And you're finished. So then he's Mr. Giovanni, but you see him as bye-bye. Marana Rupa. Maran Rup, a form of death. It's the Krishna's time I am. Sarva, what is it, Harashcham? Krishna comes and takes away everything at death. So you come here with the name Akrur, but indeed you are very cruel. For like a fool, you are taking away what you once gave us. Those eyes with which we have seen even one in one feature of Lord Madhudvisa's form, the perfection of your entire creation. So they have a lot of things to say about the providence. They call him a child. They say that he's ill-behaved, and now they're saying he's a fool. they're pretty fearless. I'm calling him a fool. You're a fool. You're agya. You're stupid. Agyan. Gyan means knowledge. And say agyan, without knowledge. I mean, a fool has no knowledge. He's stupid. If you're a fool, you're stupid. You gave us eyes. Okay, great. Thanks a lot. And with those eyes that you gave us, we saw Krishna. And when we saw Krishna, we saw the perfection of your whole creation. You created Trasi lakh species and millions of planets and millions of universes There's so much unlimited variety everywhere, and life in everywhere, and so much color and variegatedness. But if you take all that and put it all together, the perfection of everything you've created is Krishna. And we've had darshan of him, but then you take away. So what is this? Purport. The gopis did not care to see anything but Krishna. Therefore, if Krishna left Vrindavan, their eyes would have no more reason to function. They would have no function. So the gopis were considering that, what is the purpose of eyes? To see Krishna. That's it. If I can't see Krishna, I don't want to see anything. That's the story of Radharani when she appeared in Ravel in the most recent Kalpa. Some Kalpas she appears in Barsana. My Gaudi Vaishnavas, we Gaudi Vaishnavas, we worship the Kalpa, day of Brahma, where Radharani appears in Ravel. Ravel is next to Gokul. And when she appeared, where's a long story, some indication is given also, the story in Lita Madhav and Brahmavivart Puran. She appeared in the Jamuna, in a lotus flower, and Vrishabhanu Maharaj retrieved Radharani from this lotus flower. At that time her eyes were closed, they were sealed shut, and they didn't open for several days, even weeks, until Narada Muni came and did some puja, and still they weren't opened, and he gave a benediction. And then when the name giving ceremony, or there's different ceremonies they do after some weeks, then Krishna was invited, baby Krishna came, and Nanda Yashoda, and everyone came to Ravel to celebrate that maybe name-giving ceremony. At that time, then Krishna was crawling around here and there during the festivities, and he crawled into Radharani's baby room. What do they call it? Baby room? They call it baby room. Nursery or baby room. And Radharani was in her little cradle, and then Krishna crawled up on the edge, and he stuck, held on with his hands. He looked over, and then Radharani, baby Radha. Baby Radha, she perceived Krishna's fragrance and his presence. And then she can understand, now it's time to open my eyes. Now there is something worth looking at. There is someone to look at. Otherwise, nothing to see. So then she opened her eyes and looked at, and Krishna, first sight, love at first sight. This is where this expression came from. Everything comes from Krishna. Right? Janmad yasya yataha. Ham sarvasya pravavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddhabhava salman bitaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Aham sarvasya pravava. So even these phrases, love at first sight, I originated that. I looked at Radharani, she looked at me. I'm the first man, she's the first woman. And then all you other people are imitations. And you're imitating my Leela, our Leela. And you're saying, you're using my phrases, my copyrighted phrases you're using. This is my phrase, I copyrighted it in the beginning of creation. When I saw Radharani, I said, wow, love at first sight. Now all of you people are stealing my phrases. Some guy sees some girl, when I first saw you, I was finished. It was love at first sight. So the gopis are saying, what is this? Our eyes have no function. Krishna, you're taking Krishna to Mathura. Thus Krishna's departure was blinding these poor girls. As they say, love is blind. Love is blind. Love is blind in union and love is blind in separation. When you're with your beloved, you're blind to the world. You forget your mother, father, time, school, business, job, everything. Isn't it? And then, confirmed. Rasvihari is confirming it. And then if you're separated from your lover, you go crazy. You're also blind to the same things. You're blind to your job, your mother, everything. You don't want to go to work, you don't want to eat, and your mother says, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I think your lover, you're missing your lover. Yeah, that's right. He went to Paris, he went to Europe for the summer. I don't know when he's coming back. I haven't heard anything from him. I think he forgot me. So we become blind in separation and blind in union. Sambhog and Viraha. So they say the gopis are the same thing. This Krishna's departure was blinding these poor girls, and in their distress they berated Akura, whose name means not cruel, but they were saying, you are ekdam 100% cruel. You are the most cruel. Because you are doing this, you are blinding us by taking our prana out of our hearts, our prananath. You're taking them to Mathura. You're just poking out our eyes. Your action is just poking out our eyes. You're so cruel. What could be more cruel than that? Isn't that cruel? If someone comes up with a knife and stabs you in your eyes and cuts out your eyes, then you become blind. It's pretty graphic, huh? Sounds like some Alfred Hitchcock movie. Psycho or something. But the point is that this is the kind of mood that the gopis had. What, you stupid? You stupid creator? Why are you doing this? You created so many things, and when you've created Krishna, then boy, this was perfection. Because they don't think that Krishna is God. This is Naralila. He's a gopa. We're gopis. We're born in Braj. He's born in Braj. He's beautiful. He's cute. We love him. We don't care about anything else. And people say he's God. This, that. I don't know. What are you talking about? You know, I dance with him. He dances with me. I have tumble. I put my pan in his mouth. He puts his pan in my mouth. That's all I know. This is the Krishna I know. What is this? Bhagavan, God, Creator? What is crazy? So they think he does. They think so. They think this guy up there, Providence, he's making all this problem for them. And he's created so many things, and they're thinking, look, you did a great job. You created Krishna. That's perfection. It's the perfection of all your creation. And you gave us eyes by which we can admire that perfection of your creation. And now you're taking that perfection away from our eyes, so you might as well take our eyes out too, Providence. You might as well poke our eyes out. Because what? There's no other purpose for the eyes than to see Krishna. And so we've been seeing him from our birth, from the cradle, and playing with him. And we know, and we're blind to everything else. We don't see anyone else. Vishwanath Chakravarti, he says, but Providence might object. So it's because we're only hearing the gopis, Providence, they're berating Akura, and they're berating Providence as if he came as Akura. Then Providence, he may say, oh, wait a minute. Akura is taking Krishna Mathura. I'm not taking him. Because Akura is not God. He's just Krishna's uncle. And they're saying, Providence, you've come here as Akura, and you're taking our Krishna, the perfection of our vision, to Mathura. And you're making it, well, we become blind now, because there's nothing worth seeing. You gave us eyes. You gave us something worth looking at. You gave us eyes. Okay, great. Now what do we do? Well, we look at something. Eyes are for looking. Then you gave us the perfection of vision. You gave us a perfect object to see. Krishna, the perfect person. The perfection of all your creation. And now you're taking that perfection away. So take our eyes. So blind us. And now you're in effect, you're blinding us. Then Providence says, well, wait a minute. I want to defend myself here. I'm not taking Krishna. Akura is taking Krishna. Why are you accusing me? The gopis reply, though you are cruel, you have come here with the name of the opposite meaning, Akura. No one except you could do such cruel work of taking away something you have given. You are taking away the same eyes which you gave us. This is just like a foolish person who, ignorant of the laws of piety and sin, takes away something he has previously given. Because if you don't know, maybe you should know in India, but it's a very grave sin if you give something to someone in charity, then later you say, I changed my mind. I gave you that watch or this or that. Please, I need to get that back. If you take that back, you go to so many hells. It's one of the gravest sins to give something to a friend or anyone in charity and then go and take it back. So the gopis they know these principles. These are principles of humanity and culture. So they're saying, you're such a fool. Providence, you're such a fool. You don't even know your own laws. You don't even know your own laws of piety and sin. You've given us something in charity. You've given us eyes. Thank you very much. It was nice charity. And you gave us Krishna. Really fantastic charity. Perfection of your creation. For us to see, to have, and to hold and serve. Now you're taking it away. You gave Krishna to us. Now you're taking it away. You gave the eyes. Now you're taking it. This is a sin. You give him charity and take it back. So now the gopis went from saying he's childish, he's whimsical, he's a fool. Now they're saying he's a sinner. This is a progression of what the gopis are accusing Providence. They say you're acting like a child. You're acting whimsically. You're acting like a fool. Now you're a sinner. You're a papi. It's pretty interesting. Viewpoint. But now the creator replies, "But I have come to take Krishna. So why are you speaking about your eyes? I've just come here to take Krishna. I'm not taking your eyes. What's all this talk about your eyes? I'm taking your eyes and this. I'm blind and this. What is this stuff?" The gopis say, "In this case, by your taking away Krishna, we are becoming blind, and thus you are taking away our eyes. What else will we look at with these eyes which have seen the pinnacle of all beauty in the face and eyes of Madhusudan? Therefore, we will all become blind." So this is a very deep part of the Bhagavatam. Gopis are grabbing at straws, trying to find something to ease the pain of their hearts. Because these are basically, this is called mad talks. This is like they're in madness of mahabhav and separation. This viraha, this is all their intense attachment and love for Krishna has created this kind of insanity. These are, in one sense, these are like insane talks. And you thought, oh God, you know, if anyone outside was to stand next to them and listen to their talk, they say, what are they talking about? They're completely out of themselves, out of their senses. They're speaking senselessly. These are crazy talks. Is that when one is? You can imagine how much pain that they're undergoing in this moment. So much separation, so much sadness is pouring over their hearts. In text 22. Nananda sunu shanabanga soridha samikshatena sakritatura bata ihaya gehan swajanan sutan batims tandasya maddo pagata navapriya. Alas, Nanda Sunu, who breaks loving friendships in a second, will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandon our homes, relatives, children, and husbands just to serve him. But he is always looking for new lovers. Navapriya. Upagata. Navapriya. He's always taking up new lovers, looking for new lovers. Vihaya gehan swajanan sutan patin. We gave up our homes, our relatives, our children, our husbands. Banga. Shana banga sorida. Like we have man banga. Banga means to break. Shana means in a moment. Sorida. Sorit. Surit means heart-to-heart friendships. There's different words for friend, as you know, the same in Hindi, but the same in Sanskrit. There's mitra. Mitra Bandhu, Sorit, what else? Saka or Saki. So this is Sorida. Rida means heart, and Su means deep, deep-hearted, my bosom friend, my heart-to-heart friend. So how much, it's very intimate. Mitra is a casual type friend, and Bandhu is casual, Mitra is less casual. It's a very close and intimate friendship when it's called Sorida. So the gopis are saying, Shana Bhanga Sorida. We had such an intimate friendship with him. So heart to heart, body to body. Everything we gave him, everything we shared with him, we offered to him. And we sacrificed everything. We renounced everything in this world. Name, fame, shame, everything. Even yogis renounce the world. They renounce, they just go and Nagna Baba, no clothes, and and they seem so renounced. But if you see one, you say, "Hey, yogi. Hey, I'm not yogi. I'm Balasiddha Mahasaya Yogi." You know, they'll tell you their name. They're very attached to their name. "Hey, don't just call me yogi. Do you know who I am? I'm Balasiddha Tapasya Vairagi Falahari Baba. Yogi Maharaj." Acha. Wow, you got so many names I can't keep track. So they're very much attached to their name. But the gopis, they gave up everything. They didn't care. Anything. Name. Anything. So they're the greatest of all yogis. The Mahayoginis. And now they're saying, "It's Krishna. We had this such a loving friendship. Shana Bhanga Vatsorida. He just broke. This breaks it in a second. Shana. One moment. We are forcibly brought under his control. And because we were controlled by him, then we gave up everything. He simply played his flute and enchanted our hearts like an innocent deer running into the forest, hearing the tune of the hunter. We heard that beautiful flute. He seduced us with that mellifluous sound of his flute. And we ran into the forest anticipating wonderful exchanges of love. And we got there, he shot us with his arrows, just like a hunter plays a flute, and a deer runs towards the flute, and tong! The deer is shot dead by the merciless hunter. So he's a merciless hunter. He's a merciless hunter. He's a woman hunter. They have this phrase, woman hunter. He's a merciless woman hunter. He's seduced us. He's allured us into the forest, away from our homes and hearth and kin. Away from our hearth and kin, he's allured us into the forest. And we came before him with all submission and surrender. And he said, "Oh, what are you doing here? Did you lose something? Did you come out, perchance, you come out to see the beautiful full moon night? Or have you come to see the flowers or pick some flowers? This is not a very safe place. You should not stay here. There's many tigers wandering here in the forest and many scorpions and snakes. You should go home. Your mother-in-laws and husbands must be looking for you. It is not at all a safe place for a young, innocent woman with sumadhyama, with a beautiful, thin waist, to be out here in the middle of the forest with a young boy like me." So the gopis said, "What is this? You know, we're forcibly brought under your control. And now you're just running away to Mathura, not saying goodbye, not meeting us one last meeting. Well, let's meet one last time." Or there's no discussion, nothing, no notes, no letters, no Sims SMS messages, nothing. What is this? Then Vishwanath, he says, the gopis said, "Alas, alas, Krishna, the sole object of our love and the cause of our life, is indifferent to us. Why are we..." Because from what we've heard so far in the Viraha Gita, the gopis have been accusing Providence. Because they couldn't imagine, "Oh, Krishna wouldn't do this to us. My lover wouldn't do this to me. How? We're so tight, we're so reet." Surit means good heart. Surit literally means good heart, deep heart. Surit, Bhanga. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do this to us. How is this possible? He knows how much we love him, how much we're surrendered to him. He certainly knows. It's not his fault. It's his fault. So they direct everything to Providence and accuse and blame, put the full blame on him. Krishna's innocent. He could not leave us. It's this rascal. This Vidatas, the creator, the providence. He's doing this. He's a child, he's a fool, he's whimsical, he's sinful. And they think, "Well, wait a minute. He's come here as a Krura. This Krura is a disguise. Actually, this sinful, childlike, foolish god has disguised himself as a Krura. He's so cruel." And then he rubs it in even more. And they have this phrase, "Rub it in." You insult someone and rub it in. You have some wound and you put salt in it. You have a cut and put salt in. See how it feels. You're burning. So he's already burning us with his activities. And then he calls himself Akrura. What is my name? "Oh, I'm Akrura." It means I'm not cruel. You're acting in a most cruel and vicious way. And there's no greater act of cruelty or viciousness than to separate lovers. What could be more cruel than that? Because even in Vedic Dharma it says if you bring separated people together, it's punya. If people are separated and you somehow make arrangement, oh, you've been separated from your brother, he got lost, this, that, I found him, I know this is your brother, I just brought him, he's in the next room, now you can meet your brother. Your brother that was estranged or wandering in Europe for 10 years, I brought him back to Bombay. So if you bring separated people together, it's very, very pious and sukriti, you get so much punya. So just imagine what's going on here. If you separate lovers, what can be more cruel? What can be more vicious? So this is what this providence is doing. And he said, well, my name is Akrura. Akrura, which means not cruel. You're doing the most cruel thing, and you're calling yourself, oh, I'm not cruel. I'm very kind. Not cruel means you're merciful, you're kind, you're generous. This is it. So the gopis, then they're thinking, well, wait a minute. Actually, maybe it is Krishna's fault. His providence was giving his arguments. Well, what do you mean? I'm not a Akrura. Akrura is taking him. Why are we blaming the Creator? How has he broken this very strong bond of love? Friendship broken in an instant. This means how he, Krishna. How has Krishna broken this very strong bond of love? Friendships which are broken in an instant cannot be real friendship. And we have a phrase in English, friends today, enemies tomorrow. Friends today, enemies tomorrow. Which means we're not real friend. Friend is forever. If it's a real friend, true friend. So the gopis are saying, how has Krishna broken this very strong bond of love? Friendship broken in an instant cannot be real friendship. Though Krishna has brought us to the point of death, he does not even look at us. He has decided to go to Mathura for his own happiness. Even though we will continuously cry and eventually die in his absence. To become Krishna's maidservants, we gave up our homes, husbands and sons, and now he is giving us up and going away because he has found new lovers and we have become useless. Thus, in this life, we achieve nothing, absolutely nothing, for we have left our husbands and lost Krishna also. Well, that's two-time, you know, double loser, two-time loser. They lost their husbands because they ran away and had an illicit affair, Parakiya Bhav, with Krishna. And now they lost Krishna also. Imagine you have your husband, and then you have your illicit lover. Your illicit lover dies, and your husband dies. And where are you then? You're in the soup. We left our husbands and we lost Krishna. And in the next life, we'll have to suffer for having broken the laws of Dharma. So they're really in a pitiful situation, pitiful condition. Saying we lost our husbands because now they won't accept us because we've been unfaithful. And we lost our lover, Krishna, because he's running to Mathura. And now because we've committed adultery, and we committed adultery, which is adharmic, and next life we'll have to suffer and not get a husband. This is the punishment. You can read in Garuda Puran. One doesn't get a husband, it's sinful reaction. But everyone thinks, oh, I'm independent. What do I need? Or if you don't get a wife, it's the same thing. So many things. Or you don't get children. If you don't get children, there's some connection with abortion also from last life. Anyways, don't want to get into all that. But that's really the very tragic moods of love and separation between the gopis and Krishna. And by hearing this intense emotional moods and experiences of the gopis, it has very powerful effect to purify and soften the heart. And you'll see how your hearts soften. If you repeatedly read such literatures,